Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
I try and perform my best every night, and I think that they see that, and they kind of, we all feed off of each other's energy. If I'm jumping, they're jumping. If they're jumping, I'm jumping. It's like I need them to actually exist.
This is The Vault by Access Hollywood.
We're taking you on an epic journey into the heart of Hollywood with iconic interviews and fascinating conversations from the biggest stars in the business.
The Vault opens now.
Hello, hello, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Zuri Hall.
I'm Scott Evans.
And this is The Vault by Access Hollywood. We're getting better at that crowd goes wild thing.
By we, do you mean I'm getting better at it a little?
I thought maybe if I made it a wee thing, it would feel less like an attack. But yes, you're getting way better at this.
Okay.
Bravo.
I've been practicing my sound effects.
Good. Because you're going to need a lot of fake rounds of applause today, because we are talking about a woman who's absolutely worthy of it. Looking at the life and the career of the amazingly talented Katy Perry. She is a singer, a songwriter, and all-around pop superstar. Girl has had 9 Billboard Hot 100 singles, and she has sold over 18 million albums and 125 million singles worldwide, which now, holy crap, like who does that?
I mean, can you sell, if you can sell a song to any one person, you're winning. I'm not buying nothing.
Listen, I'm automatically triggered. I think about the homies slanging mixtapes on the corners. We're just like, yo, $5, $4, $3,
$3. Like, you need to give this away. You need to
it's
give
hard
it away.
Out here. It's hard. The music industry is competitive, man. So what she's doing is absolutely impressive. Do you have any personal experiences with Katy Perry?
It's funny. I was trying to think of my instances with Katy Perry. I think the majority of them have happened. She's a Met baller, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I've interacted with her briefly at Met Ball. By that, okay. I mean, I've shouted things at her
in her general direction. Love a Met Ball moment. That basically sums it up for us.
Right. And then American Idol, which happened for her later in her career.
Right.
Or later in her so far, you know what I mean? Yeah. So to interact with her as a judge and soon to be mom.
Love it. I was about to say, you know, I don't think I have a Katy Perry moment. I don't know that I've even interviewed her.
But then it hit me.
And I went to Katy Perry's fake house to be a part of that live stream that she did. And like, talk to her for a long time.
Where she did that, like the, here's my life, like
you quite
on
literally,
Big Brother
yes,
type style.
100%. This so just wait, shows you how bad my memory is. I forgot about that whole thing.
What y'all need to understand is that Zuri was about to say something and it was like a spider crawled down her wall, the way that she was like, wait.
As a matter of fact, well, because also it's like the most, it's almost like, how did I forget this? Because it was the most bizarre experience ever in the best way. But Katy had the live stream. I can't remember if it was 2 days straight, 3 days straight, whatever it was, where you could watch her live literally 24 hours a day on the internet. So I went to the house and the network was like, okay, we just want you to knock on the door and then Katy's going to let you in and kind of hang out with you. And then you guys are going to do like a meditation. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck is happening, but absolutely, let's go. So I knock on the door and Katy just like swings it open and she's like, come on in. So we're just like shooting the shit in the kitchen and it very much feels like I'm just awkwardly at Katy Perry's house, except a million people are watching. And it's like, going to someone's house for the first time is awkward enough making small talk when it's just you and them. Now every Katie cat across the globe is tuned in.
And, hey, you Katie cats and kittens.
Oh my God. Yes. But it ended up being pretty cool. She had a meditative guide come, and we all went to the living room and we're just kind of talking about like her spiritual practice and stuff like that. She was super nice. It was just a bizarre experience. And then there was a time, do you remember, did you watch the live stream?
I did watch it. I did watch too much of it.
I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
No, say that.
I want to know if it's still online. I would just encourage everyone to go back and watch it. Carvel's 72 hours.
I remember tears
From her or from other people who were in the house?
Wasn't it her? Didn't she cry at some point?
A lot happened.
Yeah, a lot happened. I remember feeling like, whoa, I think we're not gonna see a lot of people do this.
Right. It's a lot to just put yourself out there for that long. You can still see it on YouTube, by the way, so you can go check it out. Remember the moment where she had the quote unquote dinner party and Amanda Seales was there, Caitlyn Jenner was there. Yes. And really that was one of the big moments when Amanda Seales kind of came to the forefront in a whole new level. She had already been super successful, was already killing her career, but her telling Caitlyn Jenner what it is and what it's not, in the best way possible, might I add. It was just a great, classy response, but she went viral for that moment. That was during Katie's live stream. So that was definitely a standout. It's a good watch.
When I tell you that I can't wait to get off of this episode to go pull that up, it is though, think about it, because in a lot of ways, right? So we started this whole podcast as an opportunity to dive back into some of our oldest interviews, some of our most beloved moments that really didn't even make it to air, right? We've only known Katy Perry as a mainstream artist for a little over 10 years.
So, I mean, she's
really out here winning. Think about the fact that she started singing in church, right, as a kid, and had dreams of making it in gospel music. And I think that you could even say her first album was like a Christian rock kind of band.
Christian pop rock situation.
Yeah, right? And so when that didn't quite land with a big splash, I should say, because maybe that was fulfilling to her personally, but when it didn't make a big splash commercially, she switched things up. And so when the 2008 album, One of the Boys, hit with the I Kissed a Girl first single, I remember hearing it the first time and being like, this voice is not a voice you hear all the time. Katy Perry has such a way of singing a song that you instantly know it's Katy Perry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, she's definitely, for me, it's the catchy hooks, the jingles. I was just like, ooh, Kissed a Girl. Wait, ooh, okay. Top 40.
And I liked it.
I liked it. Yes. I loved it. And I was just surprised, I'll be honest, to hear it. It's such a like top 40 pop way. It was the first time. And I think that was a part of why it took off. Like, obviously we were ready for that, right? Like as a population, as a people. And so it was nice to hear that reflected in actual reality, something that a lot of people can relate to in a cute top 40 pop song. So I think that really was kind of like the door just completely swinging open for her, because technically she took a bit of a risk, right? With that being
her
pop single, and it more than paid off. And that was my jam. I loved it.
And what it did for me more than anything was wish that I had was old enough to have invested in Cherry Chapstick. You know what I'm saying? Like, imagine what your stock portfolio would have been looking like, say, 2010.
Listen, that Cherry Chapstick. Whoo, talk about imagery.
Yeah. Retire.
I can smell it now.
Retire. I can smell it right now. Okay, so we first sat down with Katy Perry 1 year after that big splash in 2008. So in 2009, she was already a superstar. You couldn't go anywhere without hearing her music. During our interview, we asked her what all of this success was meaning to her at this point and how it felt to be on an international tour. Listen.
The tour is going fantastic. It was one of my big goals this year is to have a sold out tour, and the tour is completely sold out all around the world. And, you know, I'm in a different city practically every night, and everybody's responding so amazingly. The kids are amazing. They're freaked out. I sometimes think they're all hopped up on sugar and it's not just me.
So when you get out there and you see the fans and they're all kind of cheering for you, I mean, what kind of an experience is that? I mean, that must be like overwhelming or exciting just to be like, wow, these people are here for me.
Well, that's the thing is when you're on a tour and you're playing shows, you know, where kids buy your ticket to come to see you, it's a different experience rather than playing a party or playing like a festival. I mean, generally people want to see you, but these kids bought tickets months in advance, and it is probably one of the most fulfilling things. And I can say, you know, it might sound cheesy, but when someone sings back your lyrics or sings along with you and knows every single lyric, right. Sometimes my crowd is singing my lyrics louder than I'm like, I don't even really need to be here. And that is pretty much the best feeling in the world.
Did you ever think that you've had, I mean, looking back and seeing the success that you have right now, I mean, did you ever think that you'd get here and like, that this is all happening to you?
Well, there's a really good quote. It's preparation meets talent meets opportunity. And that was really real in my life. Right. Like, I prepared for this moment. I prepared to kind of catch my lucky star. I didn't know it was going to be so big and so worldwide and everybody was going to sing along. But I was always prepared for this moment. And you really have to be, because if you're not, you can almost be so much too intense and you right. can burn real big and fast right at first, but you'll burn out. And so, yeah, it's been a lot. It's been really intense, but I pace myself and, you know, I'm looking to do big things every step of the way, hopefully.
I love it.
Yeah, I mean, the cool part about Katy Perry is she knows she's earned the spot that she's in mm-hmm. by planning splashy singles with solid singing ability.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, it's not just we picked this girl, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And that her ability to stay in the forefront of pop music is contributed to because she can sing you a song, like a right. real yeah, good song.
She truly can sing. What stood out to me in that clip is she's talking about not really slow and steady wins the race, but the idea of burning brightly quickly and then disappearing mm-hmm. versus the opposite. And that's a testament to her longevity. This is the beginning of her sort of mainstream pop career. And she's already skyrocketed to stardom. But in hindsight, that is really impressive to listen to because she was playing the long game even then when it came to right. pacing herself, when it came to giving enough, but not so much that you burn out, fizzle out. And it's like, oh, mm-hmm. what happened to that Katy Perry girl with like 10,000 good songs in 1 year that just like disappeared after?
Right.
And that's saying a lot that she didn't burn out and go MIA, because that Hello Katy tour visited North America, Europe, Asia, Australia. I mean, to literally be jet setting from country to country 2 years after your first single. And they're all, like she said, showing up for you, not the festivals, not the, you mm-hmm. know, the random parties or holes in the walls, their coffee houses. That's a lot. That's a lot on anyone. So for her to still be top of her game 10 years later is impressive.
And to know that you went from kissing a girl and liked it to singing at historic inauguration, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? A song that has become kind of iconic with persevering and loving yourself and lifting yourself up. You know what I mean? Like, I was not shocked to see Katy Perry standing in that space singing inauguration night. So, I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's a testament to who she is and what she knows about herself mm-hmm. as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I want to listen to another clip from The Vault in just a second here. But before we dive into more Katy Perry, it's time for a quick ad break.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
All right, we are back and ready for our trip down memory lane. Time to get back to it with all of these awesome Katy Perry interviews we have. Let's go ahead and throw things to 2012, okay? This was a massive year for Katy. She had just come off the California Dreams Tour. She was still on top of the world. Remember this phase?
Such a good tour. This is a good era.
Right? Like, I remember the vibes, the aesthetic, the style. It was very, no pun intended, dreamy. A lot of blue and just, I mean, obviously.
Teenage Dream?
Yes, that was
what a good song.
The whole album was named after that single, that lead single. It was her third studio album called Teenage Dream, which, fun fact, was named Access Hollywood's number one album of 2010.
It's a good one.
It was a good one. Yep.
I bought it.
Did you buy it?
Like, I actually spent money on that song, on the album. Like, this is, at this point, 2010 would have been the year where I started realizing, oh, if you want to actually support artists,
you got to buy the music.
You should buy their, like, don't just listen to their music, but like buy their music. And so it was one of those albums that, because before I was like, what's a LimeWire? You know what I mean? I'm gonna be honest. I was like, what was the other one? The orange one?
Oh, I was a LimeWire-er back when I was like 12, but that was before. That you old as hell and I can't relate. Kidding. We're like a year.
Ooh, your friend. Let me tell you something. When you thought you had a friend, you don't.
So I remember LimeWire, but no, you're right. And it's especially like her rising to fame was around that time when the music industry was shifting in the way that we consumed music and the way that artists were paid. We started to see the shift happen from album sales. They were like, well, I'm about to pay my bills off of that. And they would have to hit the road. Touring became more important than ever, especially in that weird chapter before streaming really took off. New ways to compensate artists via the streams.
I had a friend who actually just told me that, and this is one of the reasons why I buy music now. He's a music producer and has had millions of plays with artists like Chris Brown, Tank, and several others, and said for a million plays, he gets a check for like, I think $32.50.
For a million plays?
A million streams gets you about $30.
To clarify, he's a writer, like a songwriter?
He creates the beat, which means he's not sharing his publishing on that side.
So he's the reason for the beat. The
reason for the beat. And so when he told me that, I was like, oh yeah, we gotta buy music.
That's crazy.
If you love it and you listen to it all the time, buy the music.
Amen to that. Okay, so up next in our trip down memory lane of great Katy Perry interviews, I want to throw things back to 2012. Okay, can we do that?
2012.
A little 2012 action. Okay. Here we go. This was a massive year for Katy. She had just come off the California Dreams tour. She was on top of the world still after her third studio album, Teenage Dream. One of my favorite, maybe my favorite Katy Perry album.
Good one.
She had some bangers on that one. It was a really good one. Yep. Fun fact, Access Hollywood named that its number one album of 2010. And once Katy's tour concluded, she started promoting her next project, Part of Me. Now, in case you don't remember, Part of Me was an autobiographical documentary concert film. It took place during her tour and provided a really earnest, super honest look into her professional life, her personal life. This was also around the time that her divorce was finalized with Russell Brand. Remember, the couple married in 2010 and like 15 seconds later, they were like, I want my money back.
This was like, how do I own the narrative situations, right? Like, this is one of how do you interrupt all of the media fare about me with my own message that I have said, set out, and edited myself.
Right.
This was
right. Exactly. I mean, it was a year, I think maybe 2010 married, 2011 separated, before things kind of fell apart for those two. Well, Access sat down with Katie while she was doing press for this film. Listen to what she had to say about the project.
When you set out to do the project, did you realize how open you would end up being throughout this process?
Yeah, when I decide to do something, I do it wholeheartedly. And I'm pretty honest with my songs. That's what I strive to be, is connect with the truth. And with everything I do, especially artistically and creatively, and if it's extension of my music, which this film is an extension of my music because it's all about how I got here and how I wanted people to hear my songs and sing along, I do it honestly.
The one part, you know, get into all that sad stuff, girly stuff, but the fans, like, I love the way, first of all, the ages just range, and they come and they're dressed up and they're ready, and it's like a Dylan's candy bar just exploded all over the place. As a tribute to the fans, is that when you wrote down what you wanted to do with this, was that a really important part? Was that top of the list as far as a tribute to them?
Well, I mean, they have been a great support system for me and my music. And when the record labels and the CEOs and the guys in suits said, no, you, I don't understand that song, or I don't understand how you dress, or we don't like your songs, we want you to be like someone else that's popular, I went to my audience at Hotel Cafe, which is a little venue here in Los Angeles you see in the film, and I just played my songs, and the audience responded. So they've always been very responsive and encouraging, and it's just a big community of people that I've grown, and we all have the same kind of ideas and perspectives.
I think women, especially when you watch something like this, I think sometimes we don't compartmentalize as well as we'd like to or we think we can. Do you, when you're watching the film, was there any point where you cringed or you went?
Yes, of course.
What stood out to you when you?
Well, I didn't want it to be a film just about all of my great success. That is so boring and awful.
Right.
And ugh. It's just a film about a normal girl, because when you take all this makeup off and all these false eyelashes off, I'm pretty plain Jane. And I had a dream. I planted a seed of an idea, and I watered it, and I worked really hard for it. And sometimes life gave me major curveballs. They threw me major curveballs, but I got through them, you know? And it's not about winning a lottery if you want to be successful. You really have to go out and get it. You gotta hustle.
I love that. And hustle she did. I like that she brought up the fact that, you know, it's not all sunshine and rainbows, and that she too has those highs and lows. Katie was told no for a long time. She was dropped by two labels during the production of her second album, but obviously didn't give up and has everything she has now to show for it. We only see so often the glitzy, sexy, shiny finish line moment, which is the making it, but there's so much grinding that goes into that moment. It's very similar to, you know, when we watched Beyonce, what was the name of her first documentary? Her
Life is But a Dream, 2013.
Life is But a Dream. Yes, which I love to see. And then most recently, the behind the scenes stuff that she's shown, even when Beyonce went into the behind the scenes of Coachella and bringing that to life, because really lifting the veil on the ugly stuff, the hard stuff, is relatable and it's also endearing. So it's smart strategy, honestly. And Katie, as we've seen in these previous clips from The Vault, is strategic in a good way. And she knows it's a little bit boring and safe to just be like, and then I accomplished this and this and this. So any artist who's willing to be like, yeah, that sucked a lot,
right,
but this is what it looked like while that was sucking, I'm like, more power to you. Makes me feel better about my life.
You know, and to also know that that's the part that makes life.
Exactly.
It's not just winning. It's not just the success, but it's also the work.
Yep.
Right. I was watching, listening to someone the other day talk about how we as people are doing our best to shorten the journey from one spot to the other spot, right? Like it's about getting there as quickly as possible. It's about getting to the next thing as fast as possible with as few ups and downs or experiences really as possible. And that eventually that the end game of that is the place you're hoping to get to is the place in which you're standing,
yeah,
right? if you continue trying to shorten that journey, and you miss all of the point, which mm-hmm. is the journey,
right?
That a dance doesn't happen because it reaches the end of the dance. The dance is exhilarating because of all of
you're dancing, yeah.
Right, the performance mm-hmm. in between, and so it's, I think, sometimes really encouraging to hear some of these really popular, really big artists talk about the fact that, yeah, I'm trying my best not to hide my lows or my losses or the parts that make me human, because I think it's important for you to know that it's part of getting to where I've gotten.
Yep.
You know what I mean? It's part of my journey. Katy Perry is one of those people that when you listen to her interviews, you can tell, you almost can hear where she is in, like, which era is which, right? Like, she's got, she's almost got this like Candy Girl thing happening in that interview. You know what I mean?
Definitely has like a breathy kind of doll, like,
you know,
this is what I said.
Do you remember the song that she did with Rebecca Black, the Friday?
Rebecca Black. I remember Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Yeah. Last Friday night.
She was yes, dark. Of course.
I was in
last Friday dark. Night. Yep.
She has this way of incorporating popular culture, incorporating almost the meme kind of culture mm-hmm. into her music or music videos that make it highly shareable.
Yeah, and that's so good. I like that observation that you said, like integrating meme culture into her videos and imagery.
Do you remember the Super Bowl?
Oh my God, how could we forget?
Was it 2015?
Shark!
Shark! Web shark! Right? It's like that performance, mm-hmm. 2015, that Super Bowl, Katy Perry lit social media on fire. Mm-hmm. I think over 118 million people watched her halftime show. It is still one of the most rewatched halftime show performances. I think mostly because people who dressed up as the left shark needed to know what their choreo was.
Right, they were trying to learn to move.
What is my choreo for when I'm walking around?
Just so people
know what my fans. You know what I mean? But that show won 2 Emmy Awards. I didn't even know that.
Wow. For best halftime show? I mean, what's the category?
Did you just say best halftime show?
I mean, that's what it was. Yes.
It was outstanding lighting design, lighting direction for a variety show, and outstanding costumes for a variety program or special. I mean,
got it.
Not mad, right? Not mm-hmm, mad. Mm-hmm. So I'm telling you, the costume gets you every single time. So the show was no doubt a big hit on the night, but it also stayed with us for years to come. And I don't have any kids, so I couldn't tell you which came first, but didn't Baby Shark come after?
Baby Shark came after. I'm picking up what you're putting down, Scott.
Baby Shark. My favorite one is the hip-hop version.
Is there a hip-hop version?
Yes. Google it.
You and the Google.
You won't be sorry.
We never are.
You won't be sorry.
We never are.
After we go to this clip, I have another Google for you, but Access sat down with Katy Perry a month before she was set to take this stage. Listen to what she had to say.
You know, I've been on tour in my own tour for a whole year. I'm in the middle of it still. I've done 108 shows. And so I think I am a very well-oiled machine at this point. Mm-hmm. My show is 2 hours and 10 minutes long. And this show for the Super Bowl is going to be 12 and a half minutes long. Vastly different, but I do think the adrenaline for the Super Bowl will be 100 times what I go through on a day-to-day basis.
So what are you most nervous about? Like the lighting going wrong, or more importantly, maybe a wardrobe malfunction?
I'm not nervous about much, but I will be interested to see the gifts.
Oh, that, like when when Beyonce performed, and then she, you know, sort of banned the photos afterwards because they were so, you know, like crazy.
Should I do that? I feel like I should get on the phone with her and be like, "What did you do? Tell me everything."
Are you hoping to live up to sort of her amazing show?
Listen, nobody's gonna live up to Beyonce. Stop putting me on that altar. How dare you? I'm gonna bring something very special and different and larger than life. I really am gonna play on my strengths, which I believe for me is a combination of humor and sass and color and incredible joy.
Yeah. Well, so now, is there anybody that you would, like, love to live up to? We've got Madonna, Britney Spears, all these amazing women that have performed. Anybody you hope to sort of live up to? Is there any sort of tease you can give us about what to expect?
Well, you know, I guess Diana Ross famously dropped the mic and was escorted out via helicopter at one point during a Super Bowl performance. And I like her style. Yeah. That's the style. That's the kind of thing I like. Bigger is better.
What stands out to me most in that clip from The Vault is how different in tone it is from the clip before it, right? Mm-hmm. The bass and the voice, the conviction, mm-hmm. the decisiveness, her saying, you know, no, I'm not nervous. Thanks for asking, basically. Right, and right. I'm going to play to my strengths with complete assuredness that she has plenty to play on. There's definitely more, I'm going to own this. I'm not going to play coy. I'm not going to minimize myself or be shyer than I am. Yeah, I'm doing the Super Bowl, then I'm going to kill it. Stay tuned. I love that, that evolution.
But I'm going to give you everything you would expect from a Katy Perry performance and more. She came in on a mechanical lion, left on a shooting star. Lenny Kravitz and Missy Elliott both made guest appearances. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Like, Katy, what you know you're going to get with Katy is a show.
You gonna get a show, you gonna get a shark, you gonna get half the zoo.
Like, you know, like it is unreal. I also thought it was really interesting when she said, listen, get me up off of this pedestal with Beyonce.
Right.
Don't with even saying my name. Don't try with to saying my me. Name in the same sentence. Let me live my own life. Let me live my own life. It's also to think about asking the question, like, what do you hope you'll live up to Beyonce? It's like, who can?
Right, right. Don't even try. Don't even touch that. That's not even, I don't want to die on that hill. Like,
I'm good. I'm going to do my best. How about that?
Right, exactly. Which is really what it should be, right? So it's indicative of just the concept of running your own race. Like, and truly with a mm-hmm. race like the one that Katy is running and so many of these amazing, incredible artists, why waste a minute of that looking at someone else's when it does not diminish what's happening in front of you at mm-hmm. all in that sense? And that's easier said than done, but I love that she has that sense of self to be like, yeah, we're not doing that. I don't even. I'll take some notes from her, but I'm not exactly.
Can I get on that no photos after?
Right.
There was a moment when you talk about the like social media commentary mm-hmm. during and after a performance, like the Twitter, this is like when we're watching a performance, like the live tweets mm-hmm. were on a whole nother level. I remember reading a tweet when after Missy Elliott left the stage, it was like, look, because, you know, kids are, yeah. at that time, it was very, very young people who were fans of Katy Perry's music, mm-hmm. the majority. It was a joke, I believe, but it was the comment was, look at Katy Perry, always watching out for these, always launching new artists.
Mm. Oh, wait.
Because they didn't know that Missy Elliott was a whole Grammy-winning producer.
Oh, my God. Songwriter. What a whole OG. What is happening?
Look at Katy Perry.
Yes. Empower. Empower and spread the love.
You know what? You kids are really funny on social media.
Shout out to Gen Z. That's it, right?
All right.
Gosh. Oh, God. And also, have you heard we're not allowed to wear skinny jeans anymore? Gen Z canceled skinny jeans. They said we're lame with our skinny jeans and our side parts.
Okay, well, when they can pay their own bills off of more than Instagram,
talk about it.
I'll be throwing away perfectly good clothes.
Ooh, you ain't never sounded older.
Let's end this episode before
turn
I hurt
the lights off. Waste electricity, running the water.
You got my light bill sky high. Don't need to read. Damn kids.
Can't even put two sentences together talking about you trying to read.
You trying to read. What you trying to read? A tweet?
Oh, my God. Oh, we love you, Gen Z. Just kidding. Just kidding. Almost as much as we love Katy Perry, who will obviously be around for a long time. She's killing it, continuing to be a judge on American Idol. She is engaged to Mommy Ann's Orlando Bloom in 2019. Shout out to Legolas. I used to be obsessed with him. She dropped a new album in 2020. 2 days before that, mm-hmm. she gave birth to her and Orlando's daughter, Daisy Dove, which is just the cutest little name and so fitting a for a child name. Of Katy Perry.
Exactly. Like
Katy Perry and Daisy Dove. I love it. There's no stopping her. So we're here for it. Can't wait to see what she has coming up next. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode of The Vault by Access Hollywood. They should probably subscribe, right, Scott, if they haven't by now?
Yeah, definitely subscribe. You can do it on Apple Podcasts. You can do it on Spotify. Basically, anywhere you can listen to a podcast, you can listen to ours. And right after you subscribe, maybe consider Googling Orlando Bloom has an oar.
Wait, what?
Like a canoe?
Oh, my gosh.
Orlando Bloom has an oar. Because I just feel like we've asked her about it. And in order for you to have the full context of the situation, you should know, too.
This might be the best Google tip that Scott has given, and he has given a lot of good ones. Take the advice. He did. Thank him later. Thank him later. I'm going to go do that right now, as a matter of fact. We'll see y'all next week on The Vault.
Next week on The Vault. I'm Scott Evans.
And I'm Zuri Hall.
The Vault by Access Hollywood is hosted by Scott Evans and Zuri Hall, produced by Access Hollywood Digital's Jenny Depper and Rebecca Zamer, and Digital Media Management's Grant Rutter, Audrey Povar, and Ryan Middledorf, and Trey Boudet. Join us next week when we open up that vault again for more iconic celebrity interviews and all things entertainment. Rate, subscribe, and share.